Empower Radio presents Welcome to Blissville with the Bliss Lady, Terry Williams. Get ready to connect with inspiring, motivating, enlightening, and joyful guests who are following their bliss. Now, here's your host, Terry Williams.
We are in for a treat today. We're going to talk about balancing your space and kind of a little bit of clarity. We're going to talk about feng shui. Years ago, when I first heard that word, I thought it was like some type of martial arts thing or meditation thing. Well, now I think of it as meditation for your home, bringing peace and balance to your space and to your inner self. So, Catherine Hilker of Creating Sanctuary is in the studio with me and Matt today. She's a certified feng shui and interior alignment practitioner, as well as an instructor. And basically, she's going to help us create a little more bliss in our lives, both on the inside and the outside. Welcome to Blissville.
Thank you, Terry.
Hey, I'm so glad you're here. So tell me your definition or version of feng shui.
Feng shui to me is a couple of different things. In some ways, it's like a science because it incorporates the idea of how things are alive atomically from a quantum physics point of view. So we need to pay attention to things because they're alive, vibrationally they're alive. And then there's kind of an art to it, to feng shui, in that we bring into our spaces a connection with nature and also our goals and aspirations to anchor them in our space so that we can live to our full potential. That's my definition of feng shui. So bringing in nature, identifying things we want to create in our lives, bring that into our space, and then paying attention to how quantum physics is a big part of feng shui in terms of everything being atomically alive. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a firm believer that everything is energy and that it has a life and a space of its own. And when you talk about space, you're talking about not just your home, but your business as well.
Everything.
Every aspect.
Even outside.
Of what surrounds you.
So space for me is everything.
Well, here in the studio, you know, we've got a large windows and bamboo here. You know, what are some things that they could do to make this place come more alive?
In this space?
Yeah, in this space here.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I would say right away is Matt is facing with his back to the door.
Yeah.
So because, you know, there's a lot of technical equipment here, you can't really move this.
Right.
But what he could do is he could put a mirror on the front, on the wall here, so he could see behind him. Which puts him in a more empowered position. At least he can see what's going on behind him.
Right.
It's better to not have your back to the door, but in the case where you can't do anything about it, then that's a way that you can address it. That's an example. And you know, I want to be talking, looking at you.
Right.
So you set up the mics so that it's comfortable for the two of us to connect to each other while we're speaking.
Right. Well, and I don't know if you noticed a few minutes ago, I altered my desk a little so
I
could look right at you.
I did notice that.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a key, is to be able to look at the interviewee's face and their expressions and really get a feel for who we're with here. Okay, so.
And something really cool on the wall right there, there's a blank wall behind Matt. Something very inspirational because it's part of what makes this space have vitality. So what you put on the walls, what's everything that's in here is important because it either enhances our well-being or it doesn't. And things aren't neutral that way. So it's tuning in to those things that are enhancing our well-being and get rid of it, getting rid of the things that don't.
And how would you help one of your clients tune in to what works for them?
The way I do that is I learn a little bit about who they are by running a chart with their birth information. So that gives me a guide into how that person makes choices and how they make things happen in their lives. Then I also am clear about what it is they hired me for. Sometimes people want assistance with colors or space planning. And very oftentimes people call me because something is wrong. Something is off in their space or something isn't working in their lives and they're looking to make changes in their space to support them in moving through this process, through that process. So it really depends on the individual and what it is they're looking for. And once I know that, then I move in a direction of identifying like two kind of areas of chi that are somewhat detrimental. And one is a very yang aggressive form of chi called sha energy. Mm-hmm. It's sharp points and it's things that move really, energy chi that moves really fast, like downstairs or down hallways, or an approach up to the front is bombarded by a street. So that's sha energy. So softening sha energy or actually getting rid of it if it's possible. And then the other one, the opposite end, extreme yin energy, which is si chi, and that is when energy stops moving and it's stuck and stagnant. So I really look for those two kind of things in all spaces that I work in.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in a case where you can't necessarily remove the negative energy, you mentioned softening it. What are some examples of how you would do that?
Well, a lot of sha energy comes from right angles where right angles meet and it makes a point.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the ways you can soften those points, which is usually where two walls come together, is put a plant in front of it. Mm-hmm. Or if you're sitting in front of it, just move your chair away. Another aggressive form of chi is really large overhead beams.
Mm-hmm.
And you can either make them visually go away, which helps, but it doesn't really remove it, or you just move away from it. So, I mean, sha energy is a little easier if you can just move away from it, but softening it with plants, you can even use like rounded moldings on corners. We refinished our lower level and we did that. So it makes the energy a lot softer. Those are generally the way you can do it. So you're directing chi around that sharp, aggressive energy. And if there's too much of it, then you may have to make some kind of architectural changes based on what's going on in the space, which can be just molding.
We're talking with Catherine Hilker of Creating Sanctuary, and it's CatherineHilker.com. That's Catherine with a C, and Hilker is H-I-L-K-E-R, and we're talking about feng shui and chi. I love that word, chi. And a lot of people look at it as it's, you know, too Eastern. Is it Eastern cultures that use it so much?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the easiest word for me for energy is chi.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Eastern Asian cultures have popularized. Thank you.
There's some words I get stuck with.
I didn't know it was that one, but now I do. Just based on the way ancient cultures in those parts of the world were paying attention to their surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
So I like it because it's also kind of an ancient word.
Well, and there's a distinct difference between the Eastern cultures and the Western cultures and how we've incorporated feng shui into our lives.
Well, and, you know, if you think about it, especially in the United States, we're a young country.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things that we're starting to embrace is us getting wiser kind of as a whole and growing up, just like you, as you move through the stages of life. I would say, you know, the age of the country is somewhere around like being a teenager in terms of the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great way to look at it. I've never thought of it like that before. Very interesting.
Yeah, so we're starting to embrace things that are from wiser, older kinds of practices. And it's making sense because, you know, I have found in this culture that we have moved too far away from nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's detrimental to us.
So what made you tune into feng shui and begin to incorporate it into your life and want to teach it?
Great question. I initially started off in business and administration, and I worked in corporate America for 17 years.
I've been there.
Yeah, and majored in accounting, of all things. So I did that for a long time. And then, you know, I get these nudges that I'll say. I got a nudge about, okay, this is done. I'm done with this. And I did a little art business for a while where I did art fairs in the Midwest. I'd always had, you know, an affiliation with art. And I did a lot of my high school classes were art classes.
And she's got some great artwork on her website.
Thanks.
I've reposted a couple of things on my Facebook page, which we'll talk about later.
Oh, thank you. And so, you know, and then my little art business ran its course, and then I was getting this nudge again about okay, I know something is coming. What is it? And I just kind of stayed open to, I don't really know, but I want it to be related to living spaces. And I saw a program on television about 10 years ago about feng shui, and I just saw a before and after picture, and then I just lit up with electricity. I just knew that's what it was. And after I studied it, it was like, oh, this is what I've always been doing. I just didn't know what it was called. Mm-hmm. So I've always been very sensitive to space, even when I was a little girl. I remember being... I remember there being conflict, having to share my room with my two sisters who had different ideas about what order and space, I guess what order was all about. And that was difficult for me.
Mm-hmm. And where do you fall in the line?
I'm the oldest. So, you know, I was older.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they would say they didn't really like sharing a room with me.
Well, that's all right. I'm the baby, and I shared with my older sister, so we'll compare notes
later.
Okay. So, and you trained with one of what is considered probably one of the top trainers in our country. It's Denise Lin, right?
Mm-hmm. It is.
And what is that particular method of feng shui? Because there's so many different types of feng shui.
There is. I think the thing that I love most about Denise, two things. She and another woman named Karen Kingston have made the idea and the process of clearing space energetically popular.
Mm-hmm.
And they both kind of tuned into it and shared their approaches with the world, mm-hmm. You know, more than a decade ago. And they're the ones that are responsible for that. In addition, Denise has been very spiritually aligned her whole life. She lived in a Zen monastery when she was in her 20s. Her heritage is Cherokee, so she incorporated many Native American rituals into her work. And she popularized the idea of creating sacred space,
mm-hmm.
and being in touch with how important it is to surround yourself with things that you love and that nurture you so that you can be the best that mm-hmm. you can be. That approach to me was very appealing.
I think that's very important. I mean, when people ask me what, and I have not studied feng shui at all, but when people ask me, you know, one of the top things that I do to live my bliss is surround myself with the things that make me feel love and energy and joy, and literally omit negativity from my life. I just think it's really important. Mm-hmm. And as a minister, I have been doing my own version of space clearing for years. I think it's so important mm-hmm. to just cleanse that energy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to cleanse it. You don't just do it once. Really,
it's like we don't clean our houses just once.
Exactly.
It's the same thing. It's just at a whole nother level. That's not physical.
Mm-hmm.
But it's every bit as important.
My husband, you know, I'm addicted to incense, and I'll go through the house and I'll wave my incense, and at first he thought I was crazy.
That's
you know,
okay.
But that's what I said. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm crazy. I like it there. Mm-hmm. I like my world.
Mm-hmm.
But afterwards he could feel the mm-hmm. change mm-hmm. in the energy, mm-hmm. and it can be very subtle, but it's
yet very powerful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very powerful. So again, we're talking with Catherine Hilker, with Catherine with a C, and you can reach her at CatherineHilker.com. Is that one of the first things that you do for somebody then, is kind of clear their space?
Not necessarily. It depends really on what is going on with someone that calls me. Certainly if somebody is having a lot of trauma, then mm-hmm. that would be a conversation I would absolutely have with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is important to address things at the energetic level if you're making really huge changes in your life, because you can change things physically, but if you don't change it at the energetic level, it may be difficult to move through the process. So it really depends. And also, I think many people, I find through their own sacred rituals, unknowingly space clear,
mm-hmm.
like you.
Right, yeah.
So it's not necessary always.
Mm-hmm.
It depends. So it depends.
So you do the evaluation and you'll do a consult. What would somebody expect after that? Does it kind of depend on how much you think needs to be done and what they're comfortable with?
Well, that's part of it. And the other thing that is really key is what the individual does once I leave. Because once I make suggestions, it's out of my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I really have to detach from the results, because mm-hmm. I have felt like I have contributed what I needed to contribute, and now I turn the process over to the individual. And they have to do it in their own timing and in their own way. So I like to guide people in terms of a direction to take, but I don't really like telling them exactly what to do.
Right. Well, and again, it goes back to that interior alignment portion mm-hmm. of your teachings mm-hmm. as to what feels good for them.
Yeah, because it's something that might feel great for me or be very inspiring for me may not be for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to give people some direction, but I really want them to implement the details themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it's out of my hands. But as you know, when we focus on something with loving intention, miracles happen.
Yes.
And it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, but is it me doing it? No, it's the individual who I'm working with that's doing it and that's creating the miracles.
And I would imagine that you have some beautiful testimonials of people's lives who have been transformed.
I do. And you know, I don't really track them because I really do detach. It's mm-hmm. like once I'm done working with someone, if we just even work once, then it's out of my hands and I just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people like me to talk about some of the great stories, but you know what? I have to really think about them because I just don't keep them in my conscious memory. Mm-hmm. I'm not attached to that.
Was that hard for you at first, or did that come to you naturally? I mean, when you first started practicing, did you find that you wanted to kind of control the situation more than letting it go?
Yes, definitely. You know, I've evolved. You know, I've been doing this for 10 years, so I've really evolved. And mm-hmm. in the beginning, yeah, I wanted people to do things in a certain way because I wanted to have the satisfaction of seeing the results. But I came to learn pretty quickly that it's really out of my hands, so there's nothing really I can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
I can offer guidance and point people in a direction, but that's it.
It's up to them to take it from there.
That's right. And I feel like it's kind of codependent of me to try to make things happen that is my timing and my idea of how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if codependent's the right word, but...
Well, it's a dependency one way or...
Mm-hmm.
Of some sort, mm-hmm. because it's that outcome that, again, that you're trying to... Mm-hmm. to control and not control.
And I think a lot of that had to do with being a newbie and just, you know, wanted to see the results and be able to talk about it, you know, just that. So I'm happy to not be a newbie. I don't mm-hmm. like being a newbie.
Well, you certainly are comfortable in what you are and what you do, which is awesome. You know, I'm sure it was a transition for sure, but it's really cool to see
Thanks.
How comfortable and confident you are.
That is the
and so relaxed.
And that is the great thing about getting older.
Yeah, we kind of just don't let so much affect us.
I know. It's like I'm almost 55. I just
no
turned 54.
Way.
Yeah. And so that is what comes with aging, is a kind of acceptance about how things are and more of an ability to just be in the flow and be comfortable with who I am. That's what's come with age for me.
And your training.
And my training, of course.
You know, because that the things that you've learned along the way, I'm sure have certainly enhanced your own personal life as well.
Yes, greatly.
Well, and I mentioned my husband thinking I'm crazy. How does your husband, because you two work together 24/7.
Yeah.
There's no detachment.
I know, because a lot of the assignments that he has, he works on in his home office. So, yeah, that was actually an adjustment for me because mm-hmm. he used to be on the road a lot.
Yeah.
He has always, always, always been very supportive of everything I've ever done, and he's never, ever made me feel like I'm a weirdo.
Oh, good.
And he's even embraced some of the things that I have done by joining me.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a very wise, intuitive soul that is really good for me. I mean... how else could I be married for almost 31 years?
Oh, gosh. Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. I agree. So yeah. he's really supportive, and he doesn't think I'm wacky. Only when I'm having an emotional meltdown, maybe, which is just part of my personality.
Well,
and that's about other
part
stuff.
Of being a woman and all the other transitions that we're going through yeah. in our lives at this age, right?
Uh-huh, exactly.
That could be a whole nother show uh-huh. in and of itself. So one of the other things that I read was that you use something called the 7-star blessing. What is that?
That's Denise Lynn's program of space clearing and ceremony with space. And what it is a very it's kind of loose in that what she teaches with that program is to, you know, prepare yourself and the space, identify the tools that you're going to use, which could be any number of things. It could be musical instruments, sounds, essential oils, sage is pop, you know, whatever that is. You know, be clear about the intentions mm-hmm. that you're going into, and then invoking. So here's the thing that's important about that is once you clear a space, you bring it to neutral. The invoking your new intentions become a very key, and then closing the ceremony. So it's like a 4-step ceremonial process, really.
And when you say invoking the new intentions, what do you mean by that?
Well, for example, I recently did a clearing for a business, and a couple of the employees left abruptly without giving notice and created a lot of distress. Mm-hmm. And this company is also in the process of being sold to another, you know, it's going to be sold pretty soon. And so what the intentions we invoked was to clear out the negativity from this experience that happened mm-hmm. and then invoke. One of the things we invoked was joy and financial prosperity, you know, an easy transition to the new owners, and that the new owners love the company as much as these individuals loved it as well. It's mm-hmm. there. It was theirs for many, many years.
Right.
And they're retiring. So that's an example of what I mean by invoking, you know, bringing into the space very consciously what you want to experience in life. It doesn't even have to be specifically the space.
Mm-hmm. And do you include the homeowner, the business owner in the whole process? Are they there with you, or is it something that you do all on your own?
Typically, I do it with a homeowner or a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because the intentions have to be from them.
Right. It's their intentions.
Mm-hmm. And I like to include whoever calls me to do the space clearing. I always offer, the invitation to work with me.
Mm-hmm.
And most, you know, 99% of the time they want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually, yes, include the person who contacted me.
Wow. That's
in part of the ceremony.
Yeah. That sounds amazing. I know when I've just done my own, you know, space clearing, again, it's just so refreshing, and the whole energy changes.
It sparkles, doesn't it?
Yeah, it mm-hmm. really does. It's an incredible feeling. Let's just talk a little bit about chi here, because we are getting ready to wind down here shortly.
I know, it went by fast.
I know, it goes by so fast. Yeah. I really want everybody to be able to connect with you, and you have a great free download that you offer
mm-hmm.
called your Chi Enhancers. How can they get a hold of you to receive that free download?
Well, they can send me an email, which is katherinehilker@aol.com. They can go to my blog, which is, if you Google my name and put blog, you'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do a search on Chi Enhancers. You can go right there and find it. And it's also on my Facebook page. I have a page called Creating Sanctuary Feng Shui, and I've put a link on that as well. But if someone just wants to email it to me, I'll just send it to them that way.
That's awesome. Well, I noticed that when I Googled Feng Shui and interior alignment, you come up in one of the top 6
mm-hmm.
Listings on Google. That's pretty awesome.
Thanks.
And that says a lot about the work that you do.
Thank you.
And the reputation that you've developed for yourself.
Thank
That's
you. And if
awesome.
You do Feng Shui Michigan, I come up on the first page too.
Oh, yay. That's mm-hmm. awesome. Well, again, we are speaking with Catherine Hilker. That's Catherine with a C, and it has been so awesome to have you here. We're going to have to do this again.
I would love to.
Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. CatherineHilker.com, and bliss on, everybody.
Thank you.